final announcement. We'll go about an hour or so. Johnny will get to as many or all of the questions that are in the basket. And obviously we have, as soon as that's over, we'll do a little cleanup. Our meeting tonight starts at 8. That means try to be here earlier than that. We have taped all of the sessions. They're available if you've already done so. Mickey will get them to you as soon as he can. And again, I appreciate everybody's attendance, and it's just been an excellent time. And before we get out of here, I'd like to give Johnny a hand for giving us his time today. So with no further ado, questions and answers.
I hate to correct you, but I will. The answer I gave you is you don't ever want to quit anything you can still do. Was that it? Maybe it wasn't. That's probably another one I told you. Anybody have a question that they didn't write or answer they want to answer? I got a couple of answers I want to work in real quick. I'm trying to figure out whether I have Dr. Bob's story in this book or not. Does anybody have a book that doesn't have these 12 things back there?
Not mine doesn't.
Is yours a real book or is it? I just want to read you what I think is probably what I've been talking about. From Dr. Bob, who was our co-founder, who don't get much juice from time to time in Alcoholics Anonymous, but who was a great leader to us in Alcoholics. He says, if you think you are an atheist, an agnostic, a skeptic, or have any other form of intellectual pride which keeps you from accepting what is in this book, I feel sorry for you. If you still think you can beat the game alone, if you are strong enough to beat the game alone, that is your affair. But if you really and truly want to quit drinking liquor for good and all and sincerely feel that you must have some help, we know that we have an answer for you. It never fails. If you go about it with one half the zeal you have been in the habit of showing when you were getting a drink, your Heavenly Father never lets you down. I think I covered that before I signed off last time. But it's really very true. Okay. No question. Okay. Please speak briefly. of Chuck C. and explain what your advance of what the new pair of glasses is and means to you. Well, the book New Pair of Glasses basically transcribed word by word from a set of tapes that was made in the only thing like this that Papa ever did. And he called me up one day and he said, what are you doing this weekend? And I said, not much. What are you doing, Papa? He said, I'm going down to Palo Mesa and go through these steps with a bunch of guys. And I said, well, good, have a good time. He says, you're going too. And I said, I'm not going to Palo Mesa this weekend. I'm going to play golf. You know, I'm going to play golf or something. He said, oh, no, you're going. And he said, I'll be by to pick you up. And so he said, you know, about where Byron was sitting when he was up there and he made that whole set of tapes. And when he was ill the last year of his life, most of you know it was my great pleasure to be allowed to take care of him a great deal of time. And he was the only father I've ever known, and I held him in my lap and rocked him to sleep and helped him with his oxygen and stuff. But what he said in those tapes and what he read in that new pair of glasses is the way that man really lived. And from time to time, I hear people say, man, I'm really interested in that book, A New Pair of Glasses, Chuck's book. I said, it's not Chuck's book. The manuscript was written or printed before Chuck died, but it wasn't released until after he died, because he was a firm believer in our traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. But he was a wonderful old man, and you know, it's you know, I could quote you passages time and time again, and the things that confused me when I talked to him, I used to think he was crazy. I used to think, well, nobody can live that way. He talked about living like kittens. And a guy said to me one time, when did you start understanding Chuck? I said, when I started living the way he was talking. You see, that is the great thing about Alcoholics Anonymous. You start understanding this stuff when you start living the way it talks about here. It's not a way. He used to have a great saying. One of the great sayings in this book, I don't know what's in the book or not, but it says, you can't think your way into right living. You got to live your way into right thinking, which is completely opposite from all the psychobabble and therapy that the world has ever known. If your sponsor uses forms or... It just looks like a prescription. If your sponsor uses forms or whatever for your four-step is wrong... I don't think you can do a four-step wrong, but I think you're cheating yourself if you don't do it out of the book. It's about as thorough. My impression of that is, why would you want to improve on it? See, that goes back to my program kind of situation. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make much sense to me. It says, page 85. What does Bill mean by saying we can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish is a proper use of will? The proper use of the will is, thou will be done, not mine. That's it. You say that over and over and over again. That is the proper use of, it's the only proper use of the will, really, if you want to know. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. There's almost blah, 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 but that's the only proper use of the will. That's what Bill meant when he wrote that. Evil people in this room. People who say they have recovered or introduce themselves as recovered alcoholics. If page 85 says we are not cured, are they misguided, or am I splitting hairs and hoping they will just get drunk and shut up? Well, I'm not casting no tiles. Guilty, always say, not me. you're just splitting hairs. I mean, you know, what difference does it make? I mean, guy says he recovered. Watch him. See if he has recovered. Probably isn't. When will I stop taking bad action? When the pain of taking them becomes greater than the pain of not taking them. How do you like that one? sound like a phone conversation, doesn't it, David? Weakness. How many more years do we have to hear about Sean losing his time? As long as we damn well want to talk about it, I guess. Why shouldn't we talk about it? There's a perfect example to the newcomers, a perfect example of somebody doing well in AA and hiding secrets and getting drunk. It's a perfect example of what I've been talking about for God only knows how long I've been talking. It's a perfect example. That's one of those bad examples or good examples in Alcoholics Anonymous. That you watch this and see this stuff, it should be a tremendous. When I see something like that, you know what I do? I go to more meetings. I talk to more newcomers. because it can happen to any single person in this room. Ain't nobody in this room immune from drinking. Don't get that through your head. You know, anybody here can drink. And if it's a typical AA meeting, a lot of us will. Very simple. Steve, Clover, Sheep, Shawnee, no more questions. Mike's handwriting. It was Mike's handwriting. I like this one. Blank. Must have been a deep thought about that one, boy. Put this one in. It's another one. I'm trying to get down here to the intellectual giants. If I can confuse them. What do you do if you are on step 4 and for whatever reason you feel like you are leaving something out, but you do not remember what it is? God damn, cowboy. Oh, come on. You know goddamn good and well what you're leaving out. I mean, come on. You don't have to really worry about it, because that's why we got this one. You know, the only thing you can do wrong about a 4-step is not take one. Don't understand image concept, you explained. Me either. But I talked about more alcoholics die for image. Yeah, the book says that. They don't say image. That's my own wording for it. It says the delusion that we're like other people or presently maybe has to be smashed. The doctor's opinion makes a reference to it in such. We see other people taking drinks with impunity. We see other people drinking. And we succumb to the desire. And then the phenomenon of craving takes over. And I watch other people drink with impunity. And I forget that I can't drink with impunity. I want to be normal, whatever that is, whatever normal is. This group cannot refer to that statement. We are not normal people. We would not mix normally. We're not normal people. The book said that we're insane. That's what it said. So we're all a bunch of nuts gathering up and listening to the head nut. It's really the way it works here. I'll tell you what images are. Images is these guys running around here with them things stuck out of their nose and their ears and their eyebrows, with their shorts and their tank tops and all this other crap, thinking that they're just like everybody else. I'll tell you the story. I'm going to tell you again. Guy come up to me the other day in Alcoholics Anonymous. You've been sober a long time, haven't you? And he said, I said, yes. He said, AA's changed, hasn't it? I said, you can't change a set of spiritual principle. He said, I mean the fellowship. I said, well, yeah, in a way it has. He says, how's it changed? And I said, well, when I got sober, the men had tattoos and the women wore earrings. He turned and slowly jingled away. If not getting spiritual growth and not going forward, do what? Start all over again. Start from the beginning. There's a little story I want to tell you. This is about my papa. And it's just, I had this guy that I sponsored, this painter. And he was he had fits of hating everybody. You know what I mean? Hate. I call them hate fits. He didn't drink. He just hated everybody. And he'd come to me, and I'd get him calmed down for a while, and then he'd go for 4 or 5 months, and he'd just hate everybody again. And I calmed him down. He'd go 4 or 5 months. It went on for 2 or 3 or 4 years. And one day he called me up, and he said to me, "I'm at it again." I said, "Fine." He said, "I don't want to talk to you anymore." I said, "Fine. I don't want to talk to you either." He said, "I want you to take me down to see Papa. Now we get to the cell. I want somebody who really got some authority to tell me about this." I said, "Fine." Called the old man up and said, "Papa, I want to bring this fool down to hear you." I said, "He's nutty in a fruitcake." Chuck said, "He always says, bring him on." So I brought him down there. We went down there, and he went rant and rave for the same thing he'd been telling me for 3 years. Hating everybody. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, blah, blah, blah. Chuck looked at him and very simply said this, "Son, have you ever been completely happy in Alcoholics Anonymous?" The guy said, "Why, sure." And Papa said, "Don't you think that's worth investigating again?" Boy, I lost you there, didn't I? If you've ever been completely and totally happy, don't you think that's worth investigating again? What were you doing when you were happy? What were you doing when you were content? What were you doing? Some of us probably saying, "I was drinking." In the family afterward, page 134, "Father will necessarily spend much time with other alcoholics, but this activity should be balanced. Please relate your experience with balance." I'm unbalanced. I think balance, more than anything else, is consistency. If I have anything I want done in my group, I give it to a busy person. I don't give it to somebody who is sitting on their butt somewhere in the back room. I won't do that because they won't get it done. If you find a busy person, they're doing something. And I find, basically, if you keep your priorities straight, whatever it may be, you'll have time for everything. And the way my papa explained it was, too many times in Alcoholics Anonymous, and even today, you hear people trying to explain their life in pigeonholes. They got their family here, their AA over here, and their work over here, and something else over here. Okay? That's the way they got it. They forget how they've numbered them. It doesn't make much difference. I ate first, my family, and my job. Blah, 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 blah. Forget how they're numbered. It's all one big thing. Would it be any more spiritual to practice these principles at home than it is at an AA meeting? I don't think so. How would it be more spiritual? How would it be any more spiritual to practice these principles on my job than it is in an AA meeting? How could it be? It's all one thing. The book said, practice these principles in all our affairs. That means everywhere. We can't be one thing here and one thing there or one thing there. And you know why? Because the wrong one's going to show up at the wrong time. Really, that's really true. You try to be all things to all people, and you're going to end up in the short end of the stick. Because you can't. You can only be you. And you can only do so much. And remember, I try to tell you that I try to be these things. It doesn't mean that I succeed, but the only thing that has been consistent in my life for 45 years almost is Alcoholics Anonymous. And from that has stemmed everything good in my life. My children, my grandchildren, my wife, my home, my car, my job, everything. All of it stems from that thing. It's like the mothership throwing things out here. But I find time for all that. I raise my kids, put them through school. You know, I was there when my grandsons were born. You know what I mean? What more is there? What is there? I live a full life. It's a busy life, but it's a full life. A busy person has time for everything. A person who isn't busy doesn't have time for nothing. They just sit around and think about it a lot. When should someone move out of a halfway house? Right now. I don't think that halfway houses serve much purpose. I really don't. I think that when you get physically sober, you should get a job and go to work and get your own place. You should start being responsible for your own actions. And the way that happened to me was, when I came out of the penitentiary 43 years plus ago, my parole officer told me, get a job in 2 weeks or you're going back to the penitentiary. You realize how quick it was I got a job? Telling us why your sponsor wouldn't let you keep your jail time? Because my sponsor says in there ain't out here. Very simple. Well, you got to learn to stay sober in a jail or a penitentiary or a halfway house or one of them places. Nothing's required of you. All you got to do is be able to answer bells. You respond to a bell, you can get up and go eat. You respond to another bell, you can go do your little job. You don't have any mortgages to pay. You don't have any car payments to pay. You don't have any food bills to pay. You don't have any electric light or telephone things to pay. You don't have to buy your own clothes. You don't have to do your own laundry. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything but just show up and put your nose at the bars when they count you and answer bells. And his answer to me, in there ain't out here. Now, I know how long it's been since I've had a drink of alcohol or a mood-altering pill or any other kind of mind-altering chemicals or antidepressants and all that other nonsense that seems to be prevalent in AA. But my sponsor said, in there ain't out here, so I take my birthday cake from the day I walked out of the penitentiary. And in the back of my mind, I have been sober without any drink in my life. And it bothers me some days when I see people come to Alcoholics Anonymous who have been missing from AA for 10 or 12 or 14 years and all of a sudden come back and claim they've been sober 20 years. I asked Clancy that the other day. I said to him, how come you asked me when I asked you my sponsor if I counted my time inside and I told you no, and you said that's good, and yet I see you allowing people to stand up at podiums and claim all this time who haven't been in AA for 10 or 12 years. They've been in therapy and psychotherapy and adult children of alcoholics and everything else but AA. Now you say they're all right for them to have 19 years. He just looked at me, shrugged his shoulders. And so I never got an answer to that. But I still think it. Have you ever had to fight to stay here from time to time? No, I never really have. It's never been a battle for me to be an Alcoholics Anonymous. Oh, I thought about leaving once or twice because I didn't think Alcoholics Anonymous was working, and it was right after my mother and my children committed suicide on my fifth birthday. And I had those two little girls to take care of, and bills that I never knew existed came flying in the door. And my idea with that was AA don't work, and I went to a meeting to see my sponsor, and he told me that God loved me a great deal. He never gave anybody any more than they could handle, and I had to be blessed. And I never figured that out either. I told him I didn't want to be blessed anymore. He didn't think that was funny. And he said he gives big crosses to big horses. He gives little crosses to guys named John. That's all. But what I was falling into the trap was that I thought because I was sober that nothing bad was supposed to happen to me, that life itself was supposed to stay outside the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, that nothing's ever supposed to happen to me, that I'm just supposed to trudge the road of happy destiny. Just another one of them good questions, nothing written on it. But that is a trap, too. It's a trap that you can fall into, and it'll kill you. Jesus. I like these questions. Let me go through these. Jesus. Better see if anybody wrote anything down here at all. Well. I I've saved you all. Nobody got any questions. You're all healed. Now, should we go out and mend the sick and suffering? That last piece of catfish just left. I want to thank you very much for being such an attentive group. I want to thank you for allowing me the privilege of doing this, because as I would tell them during the break, oftentimes, being the type of guy I am, and going to the many meetings that I go to and many places I go, that I sometimes get caught up into the psychobabble, and the idea of disease. I mentioned being having a disease. I get caught up into this thing because it's monkey see, monkey do. And being allowed to do things like this, it brings me back to the book Alcoholics Anonymous, to renew and strengthen my resolve about the real program of recovery, where it's at and what it does and who it's for. And in this endless journey of mine through Alcoholics Anonymous, sometimes those ideas are set aside because I get caught up in the fanfare or the, you know, or the whatever it is. You get caught up in pats on the back and standing ovations and all that kind of stuff, and you forget what the real meat and potatoes are. And the real meat and potatoes in Alcoholics Anonymous, the real payoff for all this stuff, is not staying sober. I'm sorry. I know that may sound like heresy to you people who are fighting a drink, but it's not staying sober. It's not all these other things. The real payoff in Alcoholics Anonymous is watching somebody incorporate this program into their life and watch them come alive. Get this zest for living. Because it's not the run-of-the-mill thing. It's not the thing that happened. There's more people who come here and leave and don't have a goddamned idea what's going on here. There's more people come to Alcoholics Anonymous, don't want a damn thing we got. And I can prove that to you. In this book, they don't want a damn thing we got. And let me prove it to you. I'm just going to read you a little something here that'll tell you that. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Period. It doesn't say and anything there. I'm sorry. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. It says here, if you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. And I guess there's a lot of people who don't want a damn thing we got, because they're perfectly content to show up and put the plug in the job and not do these steps. So my own evaluation of that is, I guess they don't want a damn thing we got. Because if you want what we have, you got to do what we do. And if you don't do what we do, you're never going to know what we have. I want to thank you again for listening to my psychobabble and all this other nonsense and my experience with this book. And so we can all go home and mull this over and try to simmer on our resentments. Come on back and I'll feed you another batch of them to eat on tonight.